What do we need to know to be like Apollos? Is anybody, by the way, just is anybody witnessing to that? Like, you know, I think I might be, God might be calling me to stand for him, to really be that hero, to strengthen my brethren by my model that I'm going to walk out. Amen. Praise God. This is for you. This is for you. This is for you. Number one, he was an eloquent man. Scripture says right at the beginning, he was an eloquent man. Now, some of you might be saying, that shoots it for me right out of the bag, because, you know, I ain't no public speaker. You know, I can't even talk to my wife or my husband without getting tongue-tied, so forget me. That's not the kind of eloquence they're talking about. There is a worldly eloquence. Now, usually when you think of eloquence, you think of guys who are like really dramatic, and they have you in the palm of their hand as they're talking, and you're just on the edge of your seat because their words are dramatic and swelling and just mesmerizing. But you know what? You can have all of those qualities and still minister nothing but death to a congregation. Some of the most gifted speakers who speak in their own wisdom minister nothing but death. Because it's all big words, it's all sound and fury, but the Bible says it's like clouds without water. That's not God's eloquence. And you don't have to be some million-dollar speaker to be eloquent in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you what true eloquence is. And I mean this with every fiber of my being. I'm not trying to make you feel good. This is true eloquence. True eloquence comes from being in the presence of God. When you spend time in the presence of God, soaking in the Holy Spirit, communing with Him in prayer until you are filled with that cloud of glory and you are being led by His still small voice. True eloquence doesn't mean you stand up here for 40 minutes or 2 hours or something and mesmerize people with your speech. You know when true eloquence happens? Sometimes, and I've seen it happen in my office, where I will listen to someone for 20 minutes and do nothing but nod my head and smile and listen for the Holy Spirit as they pour their guts out and bare their soul. And I'll be thinking, God, it's beyond me, but I'll listen. And after 20 minutes with tears pouring down their cheeks and just bearing their soul, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will speak to my spirit with a word. And as I wait for the moment that He says, speak that, when that moment comes, I'll step through the door and I will speak that word. Simple, simple word that the Holy Spirit gave me. And I will see that. I can almost visibly see that go into their soul and make its impact. Their whole countenance changes. The whole atmosphere of the room changes. And it's not because I'm some great speech writer or I have, you know, dramatic presentations or anything like that. It's because I've been spending time with God and I'm attuned to His voice and He gave me the words to say in that moment. And you know what it says in Proverbs 25:11? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word, not 3,000 words. Not a speech, not a lecture. A word, an idea, a thought that the Holy Spirit lays upon your heart that carries so much insight, it penetrates to the very depths of someone's being. You don't have to make a drink. You don't have to flail your arms around dramatically when you say it. You just look into their eyes with tenderness and you just say what God has told you to say. And you watch as God does a work in their heart that will change their lives forever. That is true eloquence. That ministers life. And you can get up here in a tux if you want and make your greatest brilliant argument and minister nothing but death, because if it's man's wisdom, it's worthless. But you can speak a word from the Holy Ghost that's consistent with Scripture and change somebody's life forever. That's eloquence. And those 10 or 15 words that you speak over that 30-second time will have more impact on a person than me standing up here for hours and hours, weeks and months and days. Do you want to be eloquent like Apollos? There's only one way to get it. Spend time in the presence of God and learn to hear His voice speaking to your spirit. What a beautiful voice He has. Sometimes the things he says are so tender. I was in prayer last night praying over this thing, and God spoke a word to my heart that had nothing to do with this, and it literally brought me to tears. I just had to stop what I was doing. Because he is so eloquent. He knows you. Man, he knows you. And he knows who you're talking to. Praise God. So number one, eloquence, a word fitly spoken. Number two, when I look at Apollos, I see that he was mighty in the Scriptures. I love that, man. Mighty in the Scripture. Mighty in the Scripture. Dude was a UFC top contender in the Scripture, man. He could ground and pound you with his knowledge of Scripture. Make you submit, man. He'd be tapping out. That's enough. That's enough. Oh, I can't take it. Dude was mighty in the Scripture. Praise God. He knew his Bible because he not only spent time with God, he spent time. Everybody say time. He spent time in the Word. He spent time learning it, reading it, meditating on it, memorizing it, making it a part of the fabric of his soul. And that's what God wants for us to do. He devoured the Word. It's like he ate it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He breathed the Word. Probably as he would talk, Scripture would come out in his normal conversation. You ever known people like that? They can't even talk without quoting Scripture. I love some little old ladies I've known in my life. Boy, I mean, you couldn't sit down at breakfast with them without them telling you at least a chapter of Scripture somewhere. They'd just be spouting right out of their mouth. He meditated on it. You know, Charles Spurgeon, one of the great preachers in the 1800s, he said this. He said, Christians ought to be so filled with God's Word that if somebody cuts you, you'll bleed Scripture. I love that. I love that. So filled with the Word of God that if you're cut, you'll bleed Scripture. Why? Because it's the Word of life. This Word that we're talking about here is just not some words on a page. This is like, I don't even know a word for it. It is anointed. It's alive. It is a living word. It can actually give life to a person's spirit. It can cause you to be born again. This very word, it's alive. I mean, if you could bottle it somehow, I guess it's just as good to just wrap it in leather and sell it either way. But man, it is literally the word of life. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This word will outlast the sun. And the cosmos. Praise God. It's his word inside of us that causes his word to come out of us. If you ain't got it inside, it ain't going to come out to the outside. Now, I was reading some entries on Facebook the other day. Anybody here like Facebook? You guys ever spend some time on there? No? Some of us do. Yeah. Some of us can't get away from that thing. I was reading Facebook the other day, and some well-meaning, very compassionate people were trying to minister to somebody that I love dearly, someone that's very close to me. And she had asked a theological question, and she was concerned about this, and some very well-meaning people, and I'm not trying to put them down, but they were telling her what they thought Jesus would say. And not only about the situation she raised, but about other situations. They just started to go off and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And talk about what Jesus would say or do in a certain situation. You know what? That was all well and good. But frankly, apparently they had never read anything about Jesus Christ or what he said. Because number one, they never quoted him. They never said, well, Jesus says, blah, 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 blah. They just said, well, Jesus would do this. And the things that they were saying Jesus would do are the exact opposite things of what he says in Scripture that he would do. And they're talking about this Jesus, but they're not talking about this Jesus of Scripture. The only way you're going to know the Jesus of Scripture is to open the Bible and read about him and read his words. Otherwise, the Jesus that you think you know is a figment of your imagination. He's an idol you've created out of your own imagination. And so I was trying to be gentle with them. Contrast that to a video we saw yesterday morning, a guy named Vodi Bakum. Just an amazing, powerful speaker who took a just a portion of Scripture, half a chapter out of 1 Peter, and just demolished nearly every argument you've ever heard an atheist or an unbeliever make, just using a half a chapter of Scripture. I mean, the guy was amazing. Demolished the arguments. Vodi Bakum was mighty in Scriptures. You know how you get mighty in Scriptures? Anybody? Read the Word. It's pretty simple. You got to actually open the book and read the Word. Spend time in the Word, man. If we can spend 2 hours watching a movie, surely we can spend 15 minutes reading the Word. Amen? If we can spend 3 hours on Facebook, and I'm not going to look at anybody. Who's he talking to? I'm not looking. My eyes are shut. If we can spend 3 hours in Facebook, surely we can spend 15 minutes, half hour in the Word of God. If we're going to pray, maybe you need 15 in each or whatever, however you break up your time. But there's only one way to get mighty in the Scriptures. There's only one way to be able to handle the Word of life powerfully. You got to get it inside of you. You got to read the thing. You got to spend time in the Word. Praise God. And if you do that, I would bet you also happen to develop this third criteria. It'll come naturally. And that is number three. What I see in Apollos, number three, he was fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. Now, a few years ago, Dr. Comfort wanted me to do some tag team preaching. Me and Ron Rafter and Jim Salb. And so he gave me a passage of Scripture to preach, and I had never preached before. I had no training in preaching. I, frankly, did not have a clue what I was doing. But, I'd been around preachers and listened to them every week, so I figured I'd give it my best shot. I had about 15 minutes, so I got up there, and one of the key words in the passage he gave me was this word fervent. So I said that fervent referred to the place in a cat's throat where the hairball would come through when they had to, expel a hairball. That place right under the collar, that's the fur vent, because that's where the fur vents, anyway. So, yeah, I've come a long way since then. But here I am today. Oh, well. But what does fur vent really mean? I mean, if I were to ask you, if it's not really that, what is fervent? What does it mean? Anybody? Huh? Passion. Anybody else? Dedicated. And what else? On fire. Praise God. Passionate. Dedicated. On fire. Overflowing. Who said that? The Facebook girl. Yes. Oops, did I say that?